Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is Gukeka Blackmore, and she's here to talk about her travel agency and her music. Gukeka is an entrepreneur. So, good afternoon. How are you?
I am wonderful, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So, have you had your travel agency for a long time? And tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I have had the agency for about a year and a half now. And what I love about it is that it enables me to not only help other people in terms of being able to have their own agency, but it also allows me to do the things that I've done for the last 20 years, which is creating motivational music and traveling with that music in a much better way. So I've had a great time being able to book my own travel and also be able to earn commissions on that travel. And while I'm on those trips, I'm able to motivate and inspire people that I come in contact with my music and my inspirational speaking. So it's been a wonderful experience.
Wow. Now, how did you, what made you think of this? This is pretty interesting. What made you decide to create your own travel agency?
Well, I have traveled with my music for a long time, and about a year and a half ago, like I said, a friend of mine who had invested in her travel business noticed that I was doing a lot of it myself, and mm-hmm. asked me, you know, you might want to have your own agency so that you can do the work that you're already doing and create a revenue stream through the travel itself as well. And I thought, boy, that sounds really, really smart. So I had just come back from a trip to San Cristobal, Mexico. The organization UNESCO. UNESCO stands for United Nations Education Science Culture Organization, and had mm-hmm. done some work with the counterpart of that organization in Mexico as a city of music. And once when I returned, I thought, you know, this is a really good time to start this business, because now I'm involved in an organization that is worldwide and will allow me to not only travel myself to those different destinations around the world where there are other UNESCO cities, but it would also enable me to help people get to those cities as well, and have that as an income stream.
With all of the stuff going on with the coronavirus, has that hampered your business at all?
Well, not really, because people make plans in advance for travel. So you're never very seldom are you planning a trip that's going to happen the next day. So most people, you know, so you can, but that doesn't happen very often. So most people are making plans to travel anyway towards the end of this year. People who had plans to travel during the summer, have pushed their travel plans back to the fall or even next year. The wonderful thing about it is that this business, no matter when they travel, enables me to have that as an income stream, and it allows me to also create experiences for people that are memorable and as they've been for myself. Recently, right before this happened, for about a year, I had planned a trip for my family and to kind of kick off my travel business that took us on a cruise to the Caribbean, Grand Cayman, Jamaica, Bahamas, I think what was the other spot? Cozumel. And so we had boarded that ship on March the 7th, spent 7 days in sunshiny weather, and came back to the state of Kansas in 30-degree weather, and nobody having any kind of celebration whatsoever, to a very, you know, challenging, what's led to a very challenging and difficult time in our country and around the world. But what I do know, because I am, you know, on the inside of the travel industry now, I can tell you that they are taking extreme measures to make sure that people are traveling safe. And that includes all the airlines, all the cruise lines, and hotels. And I have access to all of that through my business.
So, how has the travel industry taken precautions to help their clients?
Well, of course, they're following CDC guidelines. And all of the cruise lines are governed by a body by the name of CLIA, which is the Cruise Line Industry Association. So they're all working in close relationship with the CDC and any health body organization body that is putting precautionary measures in place. So there's the basic precautionary measures that we also experienced on our trip to the Caribbean, which is to just make sure that there are no passengers with fevers. Everyone was checked before they boarded the ship. Every excursion and port that we went to, we were checked going and coming back. So even then, before it was really at a point of great measure or what the experience that we're having now, they were already taking measures. You know that the airlines are now requiring that people wear masks on flights. The flights are not quite as congested, but it is picking up. In fact, the domestic travel is up about 40% now than it was a year ago. So people are ready to get out, but they are knowing that they have to do it carefully, and we're providing that provision for them to travel and to travel safely.
So I would assume that since you get into this business, that traveling has always been a passion of yours. Am I correct?
It has, you know. It's very interesting because my sister is the one that became the pilot. And so my parents' friends also always referred to us. Now, which one's the singer? Because I am a singer, and which one's the pilot? So now we're both kind of in that same that same industry. I mean, she sings very well too. But it is something that I love to do. And really, I think when it first started to take off for me was when I decided to tour back in 2010, and I created my own tour. I said, you know, I'm not with a record label. I'm not with a major, you know, music industry, iconic management company. But you know what? I'm going to do it on my own. And I did. I created a tour where I traveled around the United States for a year promoting my album called Spirit is Alive. And that led to other experiences. I was asked to go to South Africa and spent nearly a month in Cape Town working with youth and young adults and adult learners even to help with the idea of being worthy and focusing on self-love and learning, obviously, a lot about a country who had been in apartheid for so long, and yet a lot of those conditions were still in place, even though the law of apartheid was over. It allowed me to go to the Bahamas and work with students there, and also working with not only their technical abilities in terms of music, but to also work with them on their self-esteem and self-worth. So it's something that I have really enjoyed doing. It's so great to go to other places, whether it's domestic or international, to meet people where they are and learn about what their experiences are in life. And you often, even though you may go with a gift to give to them, you're also gifted as well by what they bring.
Now, you've met people all over the world. When you meet somebody from a different culture, how do you document what it felt like, what it was like to meet people of different, you know, different than what you experienced? Do you write? Do you write songs? Do you do it on Facebook? How do you document your different experiencing with people from all over the world?
Well, a little bit of all of that. In some instances, the experiences are so touching that, you know, songs are revealed, kind of downloaded, as I say. And then I can, you know, create experiences around that. I blog about it on my website, bukekastyle.com. And I also do a lot of social media posting of those experiences as well. When I was in South Africa, we went to a place called Bleakiesdorf. And Bleakiesdorf was essentially, it means tin shack. And these shacks were created in the time where the World Cup was hosted in South Africa. And essentially they took people that were on the streets, living on the streets, and then created this very poorly constructed area in which to put them. And of course there were no bars or barbed wire, but it was certainly an area that had its own restrictions to health care and law enforcement, kind of people that were put to the side. And this was in 2010, so long after, or at least, you know, a decade or so after apartheid had ended. And and so kind of videoing that experience and then posting that on YouTube was something that was very touching for people. So all of those ways, just however that experience decides to kind of show up in terms of a creative expression, I tend to do.
Who influenced you with your music? Who was your idols in creating your music?
Definitely my mother. My mother was a powerhouse of a vocalist and an extremely talented songwriter. She taught me how to sing, and she was a coloratura soprano. She also, during the era of civil rights, wrote a lot of children's songs to support the education of and enhance the knowledge of famous African American heroes and sheroes. So she wrote songs about Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth. These were children's songs that, in some cases, have lived on. And she passed away a couple of years ago in 2018. And my husband and I had recently moved, and you know how that works. You know, you kind of take along your genealogy and your move, right? the boxes and tubs of those types of things. And I was so fortunate to find her book of children's songs that I'm going to be publishing here soon.
So one of my all-time favorite singers is Marion McKeever. Were you at all influenced by her works?
Oh, I'm telling you. So when I went to South Africa, I got goosebumps. I literally have goosebumps right now. When I went to South Africa, I'm sitting in the living room of some people that had a dinner for us. And I told them, I was like, you know, my mom taught me some songs. And they said, well, which ones? And I said, well, there's one called Pata Pata. And they're like, oh yes. So we're dancing around the room. Pata Pata, you know. Ta-da, Pata Pata. And we went
right
on and on. And then there was a lullaby that she taught us as well. So, yes, that was a Miriam McKeever song. So I'm very familiar with her. And she was definitely someone that inspired my mother and therefore inspired me. And, you know, I've also got, you know, I've got a pretty eclectic background in terms of who I like. I love Chaka Khan. I love Diana Ross. I love Barbra Streisand. And Judy Garland, those big, you know, powerful voices. So, yes, they all inspired me.
Wow, that's terrific. So out of all of the places that you've been in the world, what's your favorite?
Wow, that one's a toughie. I think probably... You know, South Africa is wonderful. Everybody should make a trip to Africa. You know, it was a wonderful experience just to see the, kind of at that cradle of, you know, civilization where the mountains are bigger than you've seen ever in life.
Mm-hmm.
But I also loved San Cristobal, Mexico, because it was just so quaint. It was kind of like an artist town. You see people painting everywhere and creating wares, and it was very non-touristy. It has its little bit of tourism because, you know, that's the economy. You know, they need to be able to sell and make things and sell them. I'd have to say between those two places, I would go back again and again.
And how about the United States? What's your favorite state?
Oh, let's see. My favorite state. Well, that's another toughie.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. This country has so many beautiful places. I live in the state of Kansas, and people think, you know, what in the world could possibly be in Kansas? But there's this, what they call the Flint Hills of Kansas, and when you're driving through, it's just absolutely pristine and beautiful. I'm originally from Michigan, and in the upper part of that are where a majority of baby's breath comes from that you see in floral arrangements, just miles and miles and miles of baby's breath. I love Northern California. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Northern California is beautiful as well. So, that's a toughie, but I don't know. I love mountains and water, so... Probably somewhere on the West Coast, upper coast, where it's not so hot.
I've got two tough questions for you. Has COVID-19 hit your area pretty hard?
You know, we've obviously had a few deaths, a few thousand cases in our area. The governor of Kansas was very swift to close down the schools and to put some stopgap measures in place. The other thing about Kansas is that it's a very widespread, predominantly rural area. Where I live is very connected to Kansas City, Missouri. So we have a big greater Kansas City area, for which, even though I'm in Kansas, I'm included in that. But statewide, we've been fortunate enough not to be definitely on the decline and not on the rise.
You know, we're living in unprecedented times. We're in very troubled times. We have the pandemic, and now we also have civil unrest. And you live in the part of the country that people think of as kind of like, you know, very mellow and wonderful. Nothing's going on too much. Has the civil unrest that's been going on for the past week, has it hit your area?
Well, we have had protests. The mayor of Kansas City, Quentin Lucas, actually walked with protesters yesterday, which I thought was really quite stunning on his part. It was very, very peaceful. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why, because the people felt heard and they felt supported. And they're also walking with the mayor. So they wanted to make sure that he was also represented well. And it came off quite peacefully, but still made a point. You know, you heard me mention earlier that my parents were involved in civil rights, and you know, I think in this area it is quiet, but there's also that underlying unrest. We have civil unrest in terms of protests, which have not been, again, in any way harmful. But, you know, the hearts and minds of people here are still very connected with everything that's going on in the world. And so I'm just very, very, very grateful that, you know, I can look out my window and it is quiet and peaceful.
And you talk about your travel business. How do you get your message out that you are open for business?
Well, you know, business is a relationship building activity. So I meet with people one at a time, whether it's face-to-face, phone-to-phone, email-to-email, message-to-message. Mm-hmm. It's definitely about building relationships. And, you know, with the business of travel, and the fact that I'm able to help other people have their own travel agencies, which I think is great because of the fact that it's a viable business. Travel is an $8 trillion a year business, and it's one that you can do from home. People who have been had experiences with layoff or finding the fact, hey, I think I need to have a plan B. This is an industry in which the price point is high and it's a very resilient industry. So I talk to people one-on-one, letting them know that I have this business. They are welcome to also take a look at what this business has to offer in case they want to have their own, or if they want to work with me in helping them book a trip, I can do that as well. So it hasn't been difficult at all. I still continue, even though it is on hiatus for the moment, to let people know that it's available for them. And I love it. I quite enjoy it. I think it's been a highlight in my life.
So you book any kind of travel, meaning you do planes and trains and boats. Am I correct?
Everything. I have access to every supplier pretty much that exists. And I mean, so much so, there's only, you know, you can only kind of scratch the surface because there are so many travel entities out there that provide consumers with places to stay, ways to get there, and varying between all kinds of experiences, whether it's luxury or whether it's more getting immersed in the culture, whether it's at sea or domestic. I have access to all of that, to all of those suppliers. So, it's pretty vast.
Our time is about up, but I would like you to give your contact information out. So if people want to take a trip, or just as important, if they want to learn more about your music, how could they do so?
Absolutely. I'm open for business. Let me give you my email address. It is B Blakemore, B-B-L-A-K-E-M-O-R-E, CEO, at gmail.com. B Blakemore, CEO, at gmail.com. Phone number, 816-721-6643. And with those pieces of information, I can also provide them with the various websites that that might pertain to exactly what their interest is in the world of travel.
And I also have
a website that is – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, what about your music?
Yep, I was just getting ready to say. And then on the music side, my website is www.bukekastyle.com, and that's B-U-K-E-K-A-S-T-Y-L-E, all one word, .com.
Great. And when people click on your website, they could see all your music and they could purchase your music?
They certainly can.
Terrific. Bukeka, it has been an absolute joy talking with you. And I hope sometime in the near future we get to talk again. So you have been You have been listening to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler. And if you like this interview, please like Women Who Inspire on Facebook. Thank you. Have a great day. And thank you so much, Bukeka, for taking the time to be on the show.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.